Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Very interesting over the last 2 years or however long it's been, watching Ben come to terms with you.
He deals with me very well, better than almost anyone.
As we all have to in the end.
Ben comes to my house at least once a week, so there's a limit to how toxic our relationship could be allowed to get. And he doesn't give a shit like you what I think about anything, so it's fine.
It's almost as if I coached him somehow.
He's just watched.
I come here twice a week, actually. I have secret training sessions for the other evening.
This week there is a lot about marriage. Okay, lots.
Mm.
There was a piece in the Times or
can we just preface that by saying welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Ben, can you pass me the Times, please?
Yeah.
There was a piece in the
Times.
So anyway,
Ben's just recently got married, so now we're going to talk about marriage.
What marriage weddings? There's a lot about marriage and weddings in the news this week. The story that set it off was a guy in India who had 39 wives. And he died, not from exhaustion, but I think from sort of natural causes. But anyway, he was a member of a kind of sect, and he had 39 wives, and I can't find...
Ziona Channa you talk of.
That's right.
39 wives and 94 children.
And you've written it down too.
I just noticed it on an environment, on a website, which I will talk about later, which I've just found.
Okay.
But yes, no, go with him. I've been thinking about marriage because, funnily enough, an old mate of mine from The Times, who's actually leaving this week, texted me because he saw the story that you're not allowed to dance at weddings. These new things, and he thought this is the Giles Charter, because obviously we managed to create a wedding where dancing wasn't allowed.
No, people did dance, it's just we didn't. We didn't have a first
there was
dance.
No first dance. No. Music was played only when we weren't there, because I don't approve of dancing. And he was thinking, and Alan was thinking, oh yeah, that sounds like, you know, he thought it sounded like a column because it sounds like...
Well, weddings are certainly in the news as well. So there's Ziona Channa and his 39 wives. Then there was a story, names are not important, about a wife who was entitled to divorce her husband because he worked late and missed holidays.
You're taking all my stories and putting them in the same one.
Well, I want to think laterally about, you know,
no, you're quite right.
Noticing a pattern about there's something about marriage in the air, okay?
Brilliant.
And then there is, I actually really, really love this story. Okay, page 17 of the Daily Mail today, which is all Wednesday, listeners. There is a billionaire wrecked a Warhol painting after the divorce court told him to give it to his ex-wife, okay? So this is dubbed the New York's nastiest divorce. And as you can imagine, it's up against some pretty stiff competition with New Yorkers being
given
so
that the Bill Gates one, it's just, she's, they've all just, you know...
It's just blown up, hasn't
really
it?
Nasty,
it's turned really nasty, exactly. So Libby Mugrabi, who's 41, claims that her ex-husband... Mugrabi.
She grubby or grabby?
I don't know.
She's
a perfectly, perfectly handsome woman. She claims that her ex-husband, David Mugrabi, deliberately wrecked a 1.4 million Andy Warhol.
Why? They should be saying it's the grubbiest marriage. Divorce, not...
Yes. Anyway. And a 4.6 million Jean-Michel Basquiat. You would have thought that, like, that should be somehow kind of against the law to do that. I mean, even if you own a work of art like that, they should be somehow sort of protected from kind of pernicious damage. No, okay, it's just me being weird about paintings. But so he damaged these paintings before handing them over to her. So we've got New York's nastiest divorce. Mm. Yeah, we've got wife who divorced her husband because he worked late. We've got Ziona Channa. We've got no dancing at weddings. And then we have a new television program called Together, which stars Sharon
Horgan and James McAvoy.
And James McAvoy.
Who were on the radio this morning talking about it.
Exactly. And it's out on Monday. And it's about a
couple in lockdown.
And they're filmed kind of, as it were, sort of in lockdown, trying to cope with each other. They've been avoiding each other for years, living their own lives. And then suddenly they're forced into a house together. So here we have multiple stories about weddings and marriages, within which you can use any of these to talk about. I think you should do How to Be the Perfect Husband, and I think it would be really funny. So it would be about how shit you are. No, not how shit, because you're a good husband, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
No, do you know what I mean?
I would pretend to be a less good husband than I am.
Well, exactly. And it would be your advice to other men. You know, men! Exclamation mark. Loads of stuff in the paper about how to avoid being divorced by your wife for working too hard. About how not to, your wife hates you so much, she divorces you, makes you wreck priceless artworks. And then, or you know, you can use any of them as kind of inspo.
I'm just thinking, sometimes with that many different examples.
Yeah.
I haven't got that much room to manoeuvre. So I'm sort of saying there was this and this and this and this.
No,
and this
you don't have to mention all of them. What I'm saying is that in the air, there is the whiff.
Let's have a look at husbanding this week.
Yeah.
And then go through them one by one and just laugh. That's an option. I had just seen the head of the world's largest family dies, leaving 39 wives and 94 children, and just sort of imagine breakfast.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, like that, without being as ambitious as yours, it was just to like zoom into that and go, you know, I don't know.
It would be the extrapolation of the exhaustion and, you know, multitasking of having only a single wife and two children. Or maybe it's easier when you've got millions of them. They all just go off and do their own thing.
I always wanted to have more children I could write, but my wife kind of didn't want to and thought that I wasn't very supportive or something when you were pregnant. But how would I have done it better with 39 wives?
Calling me fat and annoying. Oh, you don't want to be reminded of that?
I'm not calling you fat and annoying. Oh, I did call you fat and annoying.
You called me fat and annoying.
I know, I didn't say fat and annoying. I didn't say you're fat and annoying. I said if you're going to lie there...
No, you said you're fat and annoying.
I didn't say that. You can't say that I said that. I'll be cancelled. I will be... Like, all the women will go, nyah, 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 look at this historic whatevers. Like, all
you
these people on Twitter.
You call me fat and annoying in a magazine column for Mother and Baby. You were really...
Did I?
Ripped into for that.
Really?
Yeah, you said my wife doesn't... Oh, no, you didn't, actually.
No, I didn't. There you go. You know what I'm saying? But the bit they will cut is with a bit where you say, you called me fat and annoying in a mother and baby thing. It'll go, Giles Corran calls wife fat and annoying. I'm doing a big banner headline. The headline, the tabloids aren't going to give a shit. But on Twitter, the little fuckers will go, look. And they'll go, you're suffering inside, blah, 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 blah. I'll get cancelled. Then you'll have no money to spend on things.
IKEA, the French HQ of IKEA has been fined for spying on its staff and also problematic, difficult customers. And any spying on story is always funny.
What have they spied on the IKEA staff doing? Because saying to customers, yes, it's really easy to put together, take you about half an hour, cut to 3 days of swearing and smashing.
Exactly.
You have to do a flat pack joke if you're doing IKEA.
Exactly, anyway. Flat pack joke. No, it's spying on staff to make sure they're working properly and just the general thing that bosses, bosses would love to do that to staff the world over, but to make sure that they're not, you know, cutting corners or, you know, stealing stationery or whatever, but it's just, you're just really not supposed to do it. And they also spied on difficult customers. They also kind of had cameras trained on difficult customers.
The people who got the home spent 3 days putting together a bunk bed, and there was one screw missing.
They
brought the whole thing back, which they had to dismantle and put back into its little flat boxes and bring back and complained. And they
brought
spied
back
on
back on a Pantechnicon, dumped it in front of the doors, and then set it on fire. Is what I always feel like doing with IKEA stuff. So a spying thing is always the potential of what your bosses would discover if they spied on you.
Oh, yes, good idea, spy cam on me.
Yeah.
The only thing is I did do the sort of the truth about a freelancer's day and years ago. I know, but John Witherow, specifically the editor of the Times, specifically really liked that column and sort of said so.
Uh-oh.
And then about 2 years later, in some conversation, he said, oh, that was such a funny column you wrote about your day. And I thought, possibly John hadn't read any of the others in the 2 years in between. But, because he's a very busy man on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
But I just thought the fact that this is, it's ironically, the column that the editor of the Times most liked so far in his 7 year tenure is basically me writing about what a lazy bastard I am at home.
Okay, so you feel like you can't do I think it would be so funny, though. Couldn't you change it a bit?
What?
The IKEA spying story. So what would bosses find if they spied on you for a day?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
I just think it would be really funny. And John will probably, even though John has read this before, he's not going to go, you've done this before. He's going to go, ha ha, I love this one. It's like catchphrases.
Okay, one of
it's
the
like singing Jerusalem. You don't get bored of singing Jerusalem, do
no,
you?
No, what if bosses spied on me? I suppose one of the one of the things to work around is COVID, where the thing is that everyone works from home now. It's like my day. What would they really find?
No, well, this is your opportunity to be funny, to get some money column words mileage out of your A, your current funk depression, B, the domestic stuff. Being a bit funny about Iris having a pooey bottom, which she does today.
But then, what would they discover if they spied on me? And Nisa, it's like, this is what I'm doing and there's not much to see.
What? You're supposed to just be funny about all the happenstances in domestic life, no? You're not feeling it.
Not especially, I don't know. Reveal the truth, the secret that I don't let myself have a wank until I've got 500 words.
Oh, God, no, you do that. No, fair,
otherwise, you feel too sad and never start. But once you've broken the back of the piece, you're allowed to... Okay. Hang one out to calm himself down.
Oh, Christ alive. Okay, fine.
Yeah, put that in. Didn't put that in the first piece. With the royal set. He'll come to the party. Oh, hilarious. God, I love the stuff about the beating off. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
I've got one more idea for you, you can talk about whatever you want, which is your predictions for lockdown 4, which is a bit edgy and it will upset people, but it's your predictions for the next lockdown and what's going to happen.
Is there going to be one?
Well, you can just predict one.
Do we have a news peg? No, you're just thinking that.
Well, it's the endless lockdown thing.
Rollback.
So when Boris said... Freedom Day. I mean, I never thought it was going to happen, but Freedom Day, June 21st, and all the backbenchers who were so angry, and all the hospitality, and all the travel bosses, and all of those people who had...
And he's done this because when it happens, he wants it to be irreversible.
I don't
And I
know.
Would go, nothing's irreversible, there'll be a lockdown 4. Yeah. Flash forward, it's, what is it? It's November 2021.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I have to lock down.
Yeah. It's bonkers predictions for lockdown 4.
The problem with that is that is a very big and generic thing. The joke is lockdown. So I'm looking to make jokes about lockdown 1, 2 and 3. And bear in mind that all the shitty columnists trying to be funny who aren't have done these jokes about stockpiling and sourdough and bog roll. And it's I would be treading on it's really soggy, well-trodden territory.
Mm. Yes, that's fair enough. You could do. I thought it was one. I thought it was. It was a. It was one that. It's one that's coming. and you could get in there first, but if you don't feel like it, you don't feel like it.
I wonder if it's because there was a you were listening to the same radio station as I was when they had McAvoy and thing, it sounds like. No.
That's right, we were both listening to the Today programme.
Well, we weren't. I flicked briefly over from Stig and Asma, which I listened to religiously from 6 until 10. Mm-hmm. But due to going out of range briefly, I flicked onto the Today programme just to have something, got its terrible Radio 4 down with it. Anyway, so I was listening to, because no, honestly, Stig, if I mention Radio 4, relating to anything which was when he was on the radio, he gets very upset. But anyway, it's all fine. We love Times Radio. My entire life is devoted to Times Radio. So if I want to listen to Radio 4 for 10 minutes, I fucking can.
Yeah.
And I did. Stig and Asma's sort of intro to it was... No, sorry, it wasn't them. It was those two tedious... Who was it on Radio 4? It was Justin.
They all sound the same.
Justin's fine. They were going, can you laugh about lockdown? It was really weird. He was saying, like, is there humour in lockdown? They began introducing this show together with James McAvoy. Is there humour in lockdown? Some would say too soon. I was like, you fucker. I have been laughing about lockdown for 18 months. Yes, there bloody is. Mm-hmm. And how weird that the reason we need Times Radio is because the BBC has not yet noticed that lockdown.
Sounds to me that was a line written by a very, very tired, possibly hungover producer at 5 a.m.
If you make the mistake of reading out the lines written for your producer live on air, hey, Ben? No good can come of it.
In a strong Stratford-upon-Avon accent. This beer, chef cookbook for you, Joyce.
Stig and Asma. Asma's a real script reader, but she quite often clearly doesn't necessarily, as you're supposed to, and I never do either, pre-read the scripts. So she quite often reads it out and then goes, who wrote this rubbish? And I think either Asma pretend that it's your own words or like properly dropping the producer. I love the fact she's got so many producers she doesn't know. I can't say who wrote this rubbish because I know it was Ben.
Mm. It's a bit like Albert Finney in Annie when he has to read out a toothpaste commercial when he's on the radio.
Anyway, introducing.
Did I just do a radio commercial? That's what he shouts.
Does he?
Yeah,
it's a good Albert Finney voice. Yeah, well, I mean that was less good, but it's fine.
That was more like Melchett.
That's how Sue Perkins does Donald Sinden, but it's also how Sue Perkins does Chewbacca. She does a really good Chewbacca, but I can't
do it.
She
does a very good Chewbacca.
She's good at impersonations. Anyway, so is there humour in lockdown? Lockdown 4. So that's just me going, yes, there's humour in lockdown. No, it doesn't work that boring.
Okay.
I didn't have like that much until I did a thing this morning, which I've never done before in my 25 years of column writing, which is quite interesting.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
I will. It's not that interesting. So I had the Dancing Made Illegal thing.
Right, for weddings, yeah.
Dancing's not allowed, is there a column? But, my feelings about dancing, I hate dancing. I feel, you will feel, will you not? You will tell me, I've done dancing often enough. Not recently. But the world knows I don't like dancing and what I think of it.
Yeah. I really just think that inside, I think what's going on is inside there is a hot pant wearing go-go dancer. Like a podium, like in the little pants.
Singlet wearing.
Yeah.
This is the problem there is. This is the mental health issue we address. I feel to a great extent that I've missed FOMO, that I've missed out on the first 51 years of life. I haven't danced at all. It all comes from my childhood. I wish I had danced. You know, I don't, but I don't, and I never can. And when everybody has a great night out, there's always some dancing in there. And if there isn't dancing, then you've... So I feel like I've never had a great night out, because all I've ever done is got pissed and then felt sad and gone home.
Mm-hmm.
The whole nightclubs thing, that's why I hate dancing. I could do the dancing column again.
Oh, please don't. It's so boring. What's this thing that you did in your 25
years? Oh, look,
you Google, what shall I write my column?
Yes.
Are you for real?
No. Yes, up to a point, I Googled interesting news stories.
No.
I went upstairs 10 minutes before Ben came because I had such horse shit. And due to my mental health issues, which I'm not making light of because they're real, but I'm making light of them because that's how I deal with my mental health issues, because I can't be asked to go back to my analyst for a third session. And when I say session, I mean like 10
years. I'm going to say this one last time, okay? And I'm saying it here so that you can't get pissed off with me. You don't have to go back to her. You can start again with someone else who's closer by and who will just deal with the...
But then I'll have to take them through the whole shit.
You won't have to take them through
anything. I'll just see it when I walk in.
Yeah.
Ah, Mr. Corrin.
I think
I need a new shrink?
I think you very much need... You don't need a new analyst. You do not need to go back to 4 days a week Nutter's therapy. I think you just need some... kind person.
Do you think it's... But maybe the prices have gone up because of lockdown, everyone's fucked.
I don't think so. And you can also do it online. I didn't want to do mine online.
Imagine talking for an hour and then the therapist saying you're on mute.
Well, they wouldn't wait for an hour.
They would, because they're not supposed to talk.
No,
if you're in Jungian, Kleinian, Jungian.
You do not need to be in Jungian, Kleinian analysis, okay? You just need some nice person like my old therapist, Dinah, who was great.
So actually you're really handsome and sexy and clever and rich.
She's just always on your side. She's just always like, how does that
Well, mate, you've got 34 wives. He was probably just looking for one who was on his side. Like 30, wife number 33. Fuck off, shut up.
Everything's fine for 3 months.
I love the fact that he just didn't divorce them. He just kept each one. He couldn't break up. Maybe, he couldn't say the thing. He couldn't even reverse chuck them.
Maybe the secret to your column this week is writing about your mental health issues and what they are and what you're going to do about them. Would that help, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe. See, people always say, describe the podcast as being like therapy. And funnily enough, we haven't had Ben here. So we didn't do the therapy for the last... podcast? Right.
Yeah.
All right, that's a Freudian slip. Or one could say a Michelian slip, if you cast Ben as the analyst. Because we haven't done a podcast for 2 weeks. And the two ones before, we had two different people. The excellent Will and the totally competent Lucy stood in. So this is like 4 weeks without... our actual analyst. We've had the wrong analyst here. Ben is back. So maybe my mental health will take an upturn because it's now five. I feel like it's like August when all the shrinks go away. Ben wasn't here. He was getting married. Now he's back. Maybe I'll be fine. Shall I tell you what I did anyway? So what happened
when
I Googled?
Yeah, tell me what you did. Yeah,
I Googled interesting news stories, and it took me a while because I had nothing. My mental health always means because of my mental health issues. What always happens is I look at the papers and I think there's nothing in them and there's nothing funny, and it's not because there's anything qualitatively different in the paper. It's because there's something wrong with my brain. And
although the papers are...
they are for dog real, at the moment. Crap. Really dog.
And it's just
really
culture
sad.
Wars and... It's culture wars and, like, holidays.
It's culture wars and COVID and not going away and it all being rolled back and there. And then when they get to about page 17, they finally find room for the we're all going to die climate change story.
Exactly.
And it's fucking depressing. But anyway, so I was looking through and there wasn't anything. And I remembered... there wasn't anything funny. But I remember ages ago... must have been a long time ago when we were still on sort of proper regular speakers. Me and I called Catelyn Moran or emailed Catelyn and said, there's nothing. What can I write my column about? And she said, try this website. And it was called something like Interesting Things to Write Your Column About. And it was, you know, Aardvark Found on Moon. I mean, nothing was really real in it. But it got me a column out of that.
Right.
But anyway, it reminded me of that when I went upstairs just now, literally as Ben was parking. And I Googled interesting news stories, or I actually Googled intercesting news stories, as one always does when you're typing really fast. And it was they were fucking interesting. So basically, but the first one I got was a fucking column. So one of them I got was head of world's largest family, Ziona Chana, dies with 39, which you'd obviously had got into the mainstream press. It's not like the Daily Star. They're not made up World War II bomber found on moon. They are, they're just like the interesting ones picked out of the paper. These were bollocks from Tom Whipple in the Times.
This reminds me very much of my first job, which was at The Week.
Yes.
Which is a New Digest fan. And they have a column called, it must be true, I read it in the tabloids. And as very junior members of staff, we were encouraged to, you know, contribute anything we sort of found and, you know, sometimes got to type them up and save them in a Word document. And it reminds me very much of that. So there's someone pulling them off and putting
them on. One of the dangers is when the story's too funny, there's nothing left for me to do. So if it's like a funny thing, then people will go, this would have been funny, you should have written about that. And I go, yeah, it's already funny.
It's kind there's of in the a, headline. It's a bit like a Trump. Thing. There wasn't anything to say.
But there are three fucking stonking stories. So this one, I Googled interesting stories. The first time it took me to interesting.com, which who knows what you're going to find there. And there was a story which they'd got from sciencealert.com. And the story was that researchers at the University of Manchester have used multispectral imagining, it says. I'm assuming it's imaging, but this is sciencealert.com. This comes from the Ben Mitchell School of Copy Editing. researchers at the University of Manchester have used multispectral imaging to find that some supposedly blank Dead Sea Scrolls actually contain hidden letters that were invisible to the naked eye.
What?
There are only a few on each fragment, said researcher Joan Taylor, but they're like missing pieces of a jigsaw puzzle you find under your sofa. And I thought, fucking hell, what a story. It's possible Tom has or Rhys Blakely has done it in the Times, I don't know. But that is what? You mean there are bits of the Bible that didn't make it into the edition we have today?
What was original? What is on the Dead Sea Scrolls?
The Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a cave in, I think, 1947 or 48, in the vicinity of the Dead Sea, super dry conditions, provided in amphorae, and a lot of them were very, very early drafts of the Bible. There's a lot, I don't really know.
Okay.
Do you know, Ben? I don't know. They're just sort of, they are, but they were, it made people rethink how the Bible came to be. It was like, they got right. to, it was actually quite arcane stuff, really. It wasn't Moses was actually a woman or something, but it was details. It was the early versions, I think, even of the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses.
And is it? And then it also later in, books. Was it written?
It was written in Aramaic.
Aramaic.
Yeah, but I'll scoot over that. But these ones are going to be written in English if I found them. So, and I will go as the original Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947. Yet again, we have to rethink the Bible. And I just do some, and I then just do fragments from the Bible all the way through, or a version of the Bible.
open quotes. Dot dot dot. Check this with Dave. Dot dot dot. Close quotes.
Yes, that's the framework, but it's the actual jokes. But yes, but it's like what stories are missing from the Bible, and I'd have to think about it. But it, you know, you would what things in the Bible which you think, well, that doesn't really work. You know, after the wedding guests at Cana all get pissed on the wine that Jesus made, and blah blah blah, or something. I don't know. But also, it could come into
dot dot dot. Enormous horse and cart draws up and takes remaining wine back to Thresher's sale or return department.
Something like that. I don't
the
know. Anyway.
Oldie Thresher is.
I think now it seems like it's like Jonah swallowed by a dog. It's not a whale. I don't know what I'm thinking, but it could just be fragments, and it could be jokes, and it could be related to the modern world.
All you need to do is randomly open the Bible, and you will have.
It could be a bit of John, the John Book of Revelation, with predictions for the future. And instead of being Whore of Babylon and 666, it's actually COVID. And there shall be a thing, and thou shalt not travel, and thou shalt not be able to.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Some extra commandments have been found.
Thou shalt not. Thou shalt always put out your bins properly. Number 46, or whatever.
For example.
So I'm sorry, I'm not.
No, that's fine. No, that's okay. But look, also on interesting.com, Noah's Ark impounded at Ipswich Dock. Now I did see a flicker of that on the Real News. Do you see that? It's actually obviously a replica, but someone built a Noah's Ark. Dutch was under a Dutch flag, and they were sailing it into Britain. The vessel arrived at Orwell Quay in November 2019. It's been detained there by the Coast Guard for 18 months. Grant Shapps being asked to get involved. A replica of Noah's Ark is stuck. It doesn't have the correct paperwork to say that it's seaworthy. Surely, I mean, that is an Alan Corran column up and down.
Yeah.
Noah with his paperwork, you know, bringing in Brexit and COVID and... But listen here, but you know, the animals and Noah arriving and they're saying, you've got the wrong paperwork, you know, thing. And he goes, yeah, but I've got two giraffes, two elephants, two rhinos.
Yeah.
You know, the paper, you know. It's funny that Noah's Ark should be impounded at Ipswich.
It is. I think stretching it out to a whole column is going to be quite hard.
So what's inside? You know, so it's like Coast Guard One. So what's inside, Noah? Well, you're not going to believe me if I tell you. No, but honestly, what is it? What are in these? Well, there's two giraffes. Two giraffes. But it's not just two giraffes, there's actually two rhinos. Two, right, you want me to believe that there's, yeah, and there's also two ospreys.
Yeah,
and
two pandas. Babies.
And then he asks all the questions which we want to know about Noah's Ark. So how come they don't eat each other?
Yes, exactly. You've got two crocodiles and you've got two springboks.
And why have you got crocodiles? Couldn't they just swim?
Yes.
And he doesn't believe the story of Noah's Ark. And you built this, why? God told me to. Really? Right, and what happened? And it rained and it rained and it rained, did it? Yes, it did. Didn't you see? It was raining. But the sun then came out, didn't it? So it's Coast Guard not believing.
Noah's Ark.
Not believing Noah. I mean, it's like the only problem with this. Okay, so that doesn't get any clicks because it doesn't say anything controversial and it's not related to the news, really. But it is...
I wonder if it's going to be funny either.
I think it's a small item because it doesn't have the legs to go all the way. But you have... I'm just trying to imagine Noah rocking up with the Coast Guard. Right, and what have we got in here?
The idea is very funny.
Name Noah, age 842. You see, it is funny.
Okay,
it's
funny. All right, all right.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on The Times radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.